Well, he hosts Glove Stories with Murph. Great podcast. And also is on the Phillies Network, Greg Murphy. Murph, how are you? Great to have you back.
Great to be back, Steve. I'm doing great. Excited for this weekend down here in South Philadelphia. It should be a lot of fun.
I want to just ask you about the podcast first, then I want to get to the weekend, because Jamie Moyer this week, you've had on Doug Glanville, you've had Chris Wheeler on, Sarge has been on, Danny Baker's been on. What's it been like taking trips down memory lane with some of these people I know that you respect so much?
Yeah, you know what? It's been so much fun. More fun than I even thought it would have been when we got this project off the ground back there in April. You know, getting to reconnect with guys that some guys who I've spent a lot of time with, when, you know, you talk about Sarge and Jamie Moyer, and then other guys that, you know, I didn't spend as much time with. I mean, we've had some of, you know, the Marty Bystroms of the world, and we've had some of the older guys in that 80 team be a part of the podcast. So certainly kind of reliving their stories, but also kind of reliving that great time in Philadelphia. I was just a 10-year-old kid watching baseball at that point, but I certainly remember a lot of those great moments that those guys delivered. So it's been fun. It's been fun doing the research, getting ready for the podcast, and then kind of listening to the guys tell their stories, because, you know what, I think they all enjoy it. I think they all enjoy kind of going back and reminiscing a little bit about the success that they had, you know, not only here in Philadelphia, but throughout their big league careers. And it's been fun. It's been a whole lot of fun.
And then one more on that before I get to the Mets and Phillies this weekend. Give me one moment where you learned something about your subject that you never knew before but surprised you.
Well, it's funny. So you just mentioned Doug Glanville, and he was our guest last week. And I've known Doug over the years. I covered him when he was here in Philadelphia. And, you know, I've obviously gotten to know him when he's been back as a broadcaster with his days with ESPN. But what I didn't know was he told a great story about when he was in the minor leagues. And he was struggling a little bit. He was struggling with this, the idea of having to come to the ballpark every day and listen to this manager that he wasn't getting along with and you know, discuss baseball philosophies that he didn't agree with some of the leadership. And he got into an argument one day with his manager, and his manager told him not only did he pull him out of the game, he threw him out of the stadium. He said, just get out of here. You know, don't go back to the clubhouse. Go home. I don't want to see you. And it was fun to watch him relive that story, because at the time, he was really nervous that maybe his career was over, that he had gone too far. You know, obviously Doug, a very free thinker, a very bright guy, and he has his ideas of what he should be doing out there on the field, and they didn't jive with the guy that was in charge. But then, you know, shortly thereafter, he headed off for winter ball, and he played down in Puerto Rico, and that's when his career really started to take off. So it was just a fun story to hear him tell it now, but you can imagine how he felt when it was happening back then. That, you know, this young guy, that I just ruined my chances of getting to the big league. So it was fun.
All right, so the Mets and Phillies will have a weekend set coming up. The Phillies have won 5 in a row. So this is after hovering around, one day you're below, one day you're even, next day you're above, then you're back below again. So what's been the constant during this 5-game winning streak for the Phillies that has allowed them to now creep within a half game of the Mets?
Yeah, you know, I think it's been a couple things. I think first and foremost, the star players on this roster are playing like star players. I mean, Bryce Harper has been hot for 6-7 weeks now. He's inserted himself into the MVP conversation. You know, Zach Wheeler continues to pitch like the all-star that he was. JT Realmuto is heating up. Rhys Hoskins is heating up. And, you know, these are the guys that coming into the season you were counting on to help this team, you know, win ball games. And at times during the season, each one of those guys were hot, but they weren't hot together. And I think we're starting to see that now, that this offense is starting to click a little bit. Big hits are coming, and the role players are contributing. And I feel like they've been doing that most of the season, but now you add it into the star power, and you're getting a lot of runs. And the other thing is, I think there's a real belief down there that not only are they never out of a ball game, which we've seen over the last couple of weeks, you know, these comeback wins, I think it's 18 total now on the season, but they also have this feeling that this division is theirs for the taking. And I think, to a man now down in that clubhouse, they really believe that. They can see it. And, you know, the last couple of seasons, they've started off hot and they've faded. Well, now they've started off kind of slow and have kind of built to this momentum here as we're in the, you know, the beginning of August. And I think they can feel it. I think they can see the finish line and they're excited about it.
Yeah, right now, they're even in the win column. They're actually one back in the loss column, so that's where they are. But they're 31-21 at home right now, Merv. What has made them a good Citizens Bank Park team?
You know, they have been over the last, you know, couple of years. They've played well at home, and it's really been, they've been so bad on the road that that's what's kept them from being in the postseason over the last couple of years. This year, they're just kind of continuing that trend. I mean, that trend, they like playing here. I mean, obviously, you have a little bit of an advantage, although I will say that it hasn't been as electric at the ballpark as it can be, and hopefully we start to see that this weekend. But I think they just enjoy playing here. It's a good ballpark to hit in. The pitchers are comfortable here. And, you know, being at home is being at home. What we're starting to see over the last month or so is they're starting to win on the road again. And they're starting to win not two or three games on a seven-game series, but they're winning four and five games on a seven-game series. And that's the big difference this year, I think. As long as they can continue that for the rest of this season, they're going to continue to win games at home. They play well here, no matter who the opponent is. They just do. So that's a good sign.
All right. So tonight it's going to be Kyle Gibson on the mound against Marcus Stroman. So tell us a little bit about Kyle Gibson, who's now new to what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so he made his first start. He was an all-star this year for the Texas Rangers and really, really pitched well right out of the gate for Texas. And right before the trade deadline, he did stumble a little bit. He had lost, I believe it was three games in a row. He had a little bit of trouble with his command. He was walking a lot of guys. But his first outing with the Phillies as a starter was exactly what the Phillies hoped they were getting. You know, he was a guy that was all over the strike zone. He was challenging hitters. He's a guy that likes to get early contact. He's not out there looking for the strikeouts. They'll come.
Right.
But what he doesn't want to do is walk guys. And when he's doing that, he's getting a lot of ground balls, and that's when he is successful. And in his first start with the Phillies, that's exactly what we saw. So, you know, that's what you need to do in this ballpark, and that's what you need to do to be successful, you know, time and time again. You want to get guys hitting the ball on the ground. You want them early in the count so you can stay in games. He's also a guy that's going to eat up a lot of innings, which is something the Phillies desperately needed. So he's a really good fit. And as long as he pitches the way he's been pitching, you know, early in the season and what we saw in his first outing, he's going to be a really nice addition to this Phillies rotation.
Well, there's another part. This tells you a little bit about him. He may not be a big strikeout guy, but he has 99 mm-hmm. strikeouts, and he's only given up 97 hits. That tells me something.
Yeah, and the walks, too. And you know, he's had games where the walks were around 7 and 8 in the game, which is an awful lot. But for the most part, he doesn't walk a lot of guys. So, you know, his whip, you take a look at his whip, which is a great number to look at for starting pitchers, and it's low, and it's impressive, and that's the kind of guy you need. And, you know, the Phillies were desperate for another arm that they could count on in that starting rotation, and I think he fits the bill really well.
How do you feel they've done in terms of handling Stroman this year?
Not so great.
Right.
Early in the year, Stroman was really pitching well, and he had the Phillies' number. I have to go back and look. I'm pretty sure the last time they faced him, they handled Stroman pretty good. But for the most part, you know, Stroman really started the season well for the Mets and was pretty dominant early on.
Yeah, he was.
Hopefully he's kind of come back to the pack a little bit. I anticipate, you know, they're swinging the bats so well right now. You know, top to bottom, they're not chasing pitches. They're not going outside the zone. They're not getting themselves out at this moment. So if they can kind of keep that kind of philosophy going through this Mets series, I think they're going to have success against this Mets team, who are really struggling right now. This Mets team is, you know, they're besieged by injury, as a lot of teams are, but they've also kind of haven't been able to find their way over the last month or so, and they've opened up the door for the other teams in the NL East.
Yeah, no DeGrom. I mean, that's going to make a difference. And then, of course, a guy that I keep an eye on here all the time, because his dad played here at Penn State, played football here at Penn State, Mike Conforto.
Sure. Wow, what a player he is.
Yeah, but he has really been, I mean, Mike's really been slumping, though. I mean, Mike only has, I think, like three hits in his last like eight games.
Yeah, but it always seems as if he comes up with a big hit against the Phillies, and I hope that doesn't happen this time around. But we've seen how dangerous of a player he can be. When he's not going well, sure, that's just like any other ball player. You got to take advantage of the times when they're slumping. But Conforto always seems to have a big hit, always seems to hit for power against the Phils. So hopefully he'll carry that slump into this series and he'll be quiet, because you look at this Mets lineup, and it's a pretty good lineup. They have some thump. Yeah. They have some guys that can get on base. So you just don't want to get them hot. You just don't want to get them going and starting to feel like, you know what, we're a better team than this team, and we're going to keep them at bay.
All right, so now let's get to the bullpen part for the Phillies. What are you seeing from the bullpen in the last 2 weeks?
They've been better, for sure. So many different guys in and out of that bullpen. Certainly the injuries have been an issue down there. They're missing Bailey Falter right now, missing Sam Coonrod right now. Both guys are getting closer to getting back, but not ready to go yet. Now, those are some big arms in that bullpen. So they've asked other guys like Aniel De Los Santos to pitch some big innings. They've asked, their newest guy, Ian Kennedy, in the back end of the bullpen to pitch, obviously, some big innings. So over the last couple weeks, I think they've been pretty good. The bullpen has had some ups and had some downs, certainly this season. Hector Neris has seemed to have turned the corner, as we've seen him do time and time again. He has a real shaky period, and then he's locked down for a long time, so hopefully he's in that lockdown period at this point. Bullpens are fickle beasts, as you know, Steve. And it's true across the league. I mean, all you have to do is look at the Nationals bullpen over the last 4 days and what they gave up late in games, seemingly every single night. The Mets haven't been different. They've been giving up games late. Braves the same way. So bullpens are tough. You just got to hope your starters can get you deep into a game, and then you can rely on particular guys in the seventh, eighth, and ninth to get you through it. Is it perfect right now? Certainly not. But is it better than it was earlier in the season? Yeah, I think it is.
Are you surprised the Mets didn't do more at the deadline? There's so much movement of big names, and they didn't.
Yeah. I am surprised. I mean, they got Baez, obviously, which is a huge name, and they got Rich Hill to help their starting rotation, although when the Rays are giving up on a starting pitcher, I wonder, what do they know that everybody else doesn't? Because they always seem to know something. They do such a good job down there. So, we were led to believe this season, coming into this season with the ownership change for the New York Mets, that it was just going to be one big splash after another. And it hasn't been quite that. I mean, they've made moves. They've got Lindor, certainly, before the season, and then they get Baez at the deadline. But you really thought, or at least I thought, there was going to be a lot more. You would think that they would have been in line to get Max Scherzer or Trey Turner, guys like that. And they weren't. They weren't really even in the conversation. So I'm a little surprised. They've led the division for most of the season. Maybe they thought they had enough to get it done and didn't want to mortgage the future. But, as we've seen, this division's wide open. And there are a couple of teams that they're vying for it at this point. So it should make for a fun August and September.
Finally, let's set that up, August, September. Got the Mets right now. And on the next couple of weeks, I got the Dodgers. Okay. Reds, Arizona, San Diego. But then, Murph, we get to September. Miami, Milwaukee, Colorado, the Cubs, Mets, Orioles, Pirates, Atlanta, Miami. What can this next 2 weeks do to set up September?
So you talk about the good teams that you're going to see coming up. You mentioned the Dodgers obviously coming in. The Mets are a good team. Then you got the Dodgers. You've got Milwaukee on the horizon. Those are good baseball teams. So
Padres.
I think the Padres. Yeah, although the Padres are pretty beat up at this point, so they're not what they were. So maybe you're catching them at a good time. However, to me, those are the games, those are the series that you have to try to be right around 500 combined with those teams. If you're playing 20 games against teams with a winning record, win 10 of them. If you can, win 11 of them. And then it's the rest of those teams that you mentioned that you have to do what you did to the Nationals. Win 3 out of 4, win 4 out of 4, 2 out of 3. You know, we saw the Phillies can falter, and they lost 2 out of 3 to the Pirates on that road trip before they got their act together. So they can't do that. That's the kind of thing down the stretch that they can't afford to do. What we saw in D.C., and I think they said it on the television broadcast yesterday, I think Tom McCarthy said it, they're taking care of their business. And that's what they have to do. Mm-hmm. They met a Washington team that was down, and they kept them down. They went after it. They refused to give up. They won those games. And that's why we're so excited about this series with the Mets, because of what they were able to do against the Nationals.
It is the great podcast, Glove Stories with Murph. I mean, Doug Glanville, Chris Wheeler, Gary Matthews, Dan Baker, Jamie Moyer, and, of course, the great job he does with Phillies Radio. Murph, thanks so much for everything. Appreciate you very much.
My pleasure, Steve. Great to be on with you. Take care.